want to thank Brother Kyle for coming here on the second Sunday of the month to lead singing for us, and we sure appreciate it. Him and his wonderful family from Greenville, Texas. It's quite a drive to come over and be a missionary to Main Street. We need all the missionaries here we can possibly get. I want to welcome the ladies and tell you Happy Mother's Day. Those of you that don't have children, adopt me. I need plenty of mothering. And so, in fact, everybody can pray for me. Put me just at the head of your prayer list, because I sure need it, and I thank God for it. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love, for Thy mercy, for Thy great goodness. We thank You for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We thank You for our hope that we have in the gospel, hope of seeing You face to face, knowing You and becoming like Jesus. Thank You, Father, for loving us before the foundation of the world and preordaining a plan that we might come to You and be adopted as children and be saved from ourselves and from sin and the world. Thank You, Father, for Jesus and for His love and teaching to us. We thank You, Father, for our radio ministry that we have in this place and our internet ministry, and we pray that You bless us and You continue to help us grow it, that more people can come to hear of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and You, the one and only true God. We're thankful for the ability to go forward here and feed the poor. We pray that You bless us and the Missionary Resource Network luncheon that we're going to have here, where people can come and hear of what we do here at Main Street and preaching the gospel to all the world. Thank You, Father, again, for the ability to feed the poor and the hungry and those that are down and out. Bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes today. We pray Thee in Christ's name. Amen. In your bulletin, you will find different announcements. We'd like to first welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ in Old East Dallas. We'd encourage you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. I'd like to report to you that last month, as you know, we suffered a shutdown of our website several months ago. We lost all our worldwide audience and everybody who thought, who was worshiping with us on the web. We lost them all. They thought that we were out of business. And last month we had 5,625 people came and worshiped with us on the web. They downloaded an average of 4 sermons apiece. 20,288 sermons were downloaded on our website from 64 countries. So the Lord has got us back up to almost 1 million hits a year, and this is from all over the world. Sister in Anchorage, Alaska, Chris, said thanks for the huge box of CDs. They're making copies. Isn't it amazing? We've got 135 people that we send CDs to out of here, these little church houses that use these, all over the world. And in Alaska, when they get snowed in up there, they make copies of this for the church in Anchorage, and they people can worship in their own homes when their internets are down or whatever. It's a wonderful thing. We hear from people every week, from Wills Point to Nigeria, from all over the earth. And so we're thankful for this ministry that goes out from here to all over the earth. We're going to study this morning the basic teaching of Jesus Christ, His Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to ask you, what type of teaching would you expect if God became a man? What would you expect Him to teach? And I submit to you that this is exactly what we should expect the God who created the heavens and the earth to be teaching if God became a man. Jesus is calling on us to live our lives different than the world. The word live, the English word live, is evil spelt backwards. And Jesus is calling on us to live our lives backwards from the way that the world lives their lives. Often you're going to be made fun of because you're different than the world, and you should be different than the world because you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And the rest of the world is going their own way, but you are to be the guiding influence upon the earth. John the Baptist came preaching in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus began preaching the same thing that the forerunner began preaching in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When we get to Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, I want you to notice and understand that this is the doctrine of Christ. This is not what Christ taught one time, and that was it. This is what Christ taught over and over and over and over again. This is what Christ taught every time he taught. This is what Christ taught to people. This is the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. The fundamentals of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus repeats in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke 6, I believe it is, but he repeats it throughout his entire ministry. This is the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set," and it was the habit of Jews in those days that when they read the scripture, they would stand, and when they were ready to expound upon the scripture or talk about the scripture, they would sit. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came into him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that which were before you." The word that we translate blessed means happy. Happy in this world, but happy also in the world to come. Happy to be made a partaker of the divine nature, to become like Christ. It's the Hebrew word barak. It means to kneel and to bless God as an act of adoration or love, and then vice versa as a benefit to man, showing that God blesses and adores us and loves us. The Greek word eulogatos means adorable, happy at not being liable to the fickle finger of fate. You're not liable to the fickle finger of fate. You have a purpose in life because you're the chosen of God, and from the very beginning, God has used this word blessed, and we're going to go back and look at that this morning and study that. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and following, we see a summary. It says, "And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed," there's that word, blessed, "and God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and of every living thing that moveth upon the earth." In Genesis 9:1, after the flood, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. In Genesis chapter 12, at the call of Abraham, we see that the Lord said to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless," there's that word bless again, "and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Second time that word's used in this blessing here. "And I will bless them," third time, "that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Four times that's used in the call of Abraham. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, when the Jews are about to enter into the land, God tells the people through Moses, there are 68 verses in this chapter. In these 68 verses, there are 15 verses that deal with blessings and 53 verses that deal with curses. Now, what should that tell us? That God knew how we would act. God knew how we would act, and He warned us. He told us that if you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horn sooner or later. At the second half of verse 1, "And that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth," verse 2. Now think about that. As long as this nation was a God-fearing nation, as long as we prayed in school, as long as the Ten Commandments were allowed, as long as people were allowed to use the name Christian, as long as people acknowledged that this was a Christian nation, we were set upon high over all nations of the earth. And I want you to know that we're definitely going to be brought down now because we have left that. And there's just no doubt whatsoever about it. "And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, for if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall I be in the city, and blessed shall I be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep." Verse 5. "Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall I be when thou comest in, and blessed shall I be when thou goest out." And so down to verse 8. "And the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses." They'll just grow more and more. "And in all that thou settest thy hand unto, thou shalt be blessed." Down to verse 11. "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body," you'll have a lot of children. "And in the fruit of thy cattle," your cattle will multiply. "And in the fruit of the ground," you'll have great crops. "And in the land which the Lord sware to give unto thy fathers," verse 12. "And the Lord shall open to thee his good pleasure, and the heavens shall give the rain unto thy land in its season, and to bless all the works of thy hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Big deal, isn't it? Big deal. You'll be the banker of the world. Yeah, you'll lend to many and you won't borrow. You'll lend to many nations and thou shalt not borrow. Verse 13, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only and shall not be beneath." And so you go on and you look through this and you see down in verse 15 now, "And all these curses will come upon thee and overtake thee if you don't do these things." And look who the rain comes from in verse 24. "And the Lord shall make rain of thy land powder, and the dust from heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed." So if we have a drought, y'all just remember who sends the rain and who doesn't. Let's go now and continue to look at this word blessed in Psalms 1, a great psalm. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, liveth not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners," sometimes hanging around down on the corner among the good old boys is not the best place to stand. You're liable to get in trouble there. The law's liable to come running in on you, and somebody's liable to have cocaine on them and put it in your pocket. They're liable to get in your car and put it up under the front seat. Do you really think, anybody sitting here, think that if somebody got in your car and the law stopped you and they put cocaine under the seat, do you think they'd claim it and say that it's really mine? It doesn't belong to the guy that owns the car. It's really mine. It's really easy to get in trouble when you hang around with bad people. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ginger and I went on a Mississippi River boat ride 10 years ago. And it was a three-day cruise, and one of the places we stopped was Oak Plantation. And they have oaks down there that it's so huge, you couldn't reach across them at the base. Two or three, 10 of us couldn't hold hands and go around it. They're so huge, these oak trees. And they're planted right within 50 yards of the Mississippi River. And those roots go down deep to the water table. And they are fed with plenty of water. And God says you'll be like that if you'll be this kind of man back here in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you'll do that, you'll be blessed. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In Psalms chapter 2, a messianic psalm, a psalm about the coming of Christ, a prophecy of Christ, 1,000 years before he was born, the end of it ends up and summarizes, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. This Christ is going to have plenty of strength. Don't make him mad, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kosak is the word there. Flee to him for refuge. Blessed are all those that flee to Christ for refuge. David, who sinned greatly and wrote Psalms chapter 32, beginning in verse 2, is blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth or reckon not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. He's not a two-face. Blessed is the man whom God doesn't count iniquity or sin, who's not a two-face. How do you get to be that way? Drop down to verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquities I have not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sins. Shalah, it means hallelujah, thank the Lord, but he forgave me. So how can you become blessed today? Well, you can confess your sins to the Lord. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from your sins. In Psalms 41, verse 1, blessed is the man that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. When I first took over the preaching at this church about 12 years ago, I talked to the men and we dedicated our work here to two things, to preaching the gospel of Christ to all the world and feeding the poor. And I told the men, there's no way we're going to make God mad by doing either one of them things. We're not going to make him mad by preaching the gospel to all the world because that's what he told us to do. And we're not going to make him mad by taking care of the poor because God loves the people that takes care of the poor. And we've gone now from feeding 50 sandwiches a day to feeding 125,000 sandwiches last year and meals last year. In 2010, at the end of the year, I had a massive heart attack. Most of you know I died three times. And the last time I died, I remember, you know, they talk about you like you're not there. And I remember they shocked me and they turned that bed upside down and they had a pump in my leg that kicked on and it shot blood back up to my heart. And the doctor said, "When are we going to operate on him?" And the nurse said, "Well, he's the fourth one Tuesday." And he said, "Well, he's not going to make it till Tuesday. Take him off in blood centers, and I'll come in tomorrow and operate on him." Now, the next day, tomorrow, was Labor Day. And the head of surgery at Baylor Hospital came in and operated on me on Labor Day instead of me waiting till Tuesday and a student operating on me. I got the head of surgery to operate on. And they gave me a five-way bypass, and apparently they did a pretty good job. I feel pretty good, and I've got fat since. I remember y'all all coming and praying for me, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate God preserving my life. But notice what it says here, Psalms 41. "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive." Why? Well, it's in God's interest that you keep those kind of people alive a little while longer. They're doing the kind of things that God wants to have done. "And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies." In the churches of Christ many years ago, people had things against me, and I'm sure that I deserve most of them. But all those that hated me are dead. Isn't it amazing, as I look around, all those that hated me were dead. And all of those that never came to me, as they should have, according to Matthew 18, and found out the truth, they're all dead. And I'm still alive and preaching the gospel. "And thou wilt not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of his languishing." And he sure did, and raised me up. "And thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." And I said, "Lord, be merciful to me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." And I sure have. And I want you to know that my whole life has been a training to get me to the point that I'm at right now. And I thank God that God has forgiven me. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 in the New Testament, this word "blessed" is used again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is an example of the word used in both ways. We bless God and thank God for all that he has done for us. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," past tense verb, it's already happened, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Blessed, again, is the word that we get eulogy from, and it means praise. All spiritual blessings from God came from God. He withheld none. God has already poured out all of the spiritual blessings that he has, and it's found in Christ, in heavenly places, means in the kingdom of God, in the church of Christ. God has already poured out all the spiritual blessings that he has. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloadable a cappella singing, there's a library of 1,000 sermons on there and 1,000 links too. Back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," versus the proud in spirit, those people that are deeply sensitive to their spiritual poverty. It means to tremble and shrink with fear before God. And fear is awesome respect of God. We need to have awesome respect of God. We need to have self-humiliation of spirit versus the proud spirit, Pharisees and scribes and doctors of the law. Poor in spirit, discouraged and downtrodden. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Jesus said, "And verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mourn is sorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." David sinned greatly. He killed an innocent man to get his wife and got busted by God. And when he was busted by God, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord." And when he said that, God saw an attitude of heart that he wanted to see from every sinner who ever repented. And God put his spirit upon King David and inspired him to write Psalms 51 and Psalms 38. I'd encourage you to look with me now at Psalms chapter 51. Psalms 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." What kind of attitude does God want from us when we've sinned? He wants us to confess our sins. He wants us to beg for mercy. He wants us to ask for mercy and ask God to blot out our transgressions. Who but God can blot out our transgressions? Nobody. Just God can wash us. Just God can cleanse us. Just God can take our transgressions away. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Down now to verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop." Hyssop is what the high priest took, and he'd dip it in blood and go in behind the veil to the mercy seat and sprinkle the blood upon the altar, confessing the sins of the people. And so David is saying, "Purge me with this coming blood of the Lamb, with this perfect sacrifice that's coming." David looked forward in faith to the death of an innocent victim, to the death of Christ. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Who can wash me but God? I can take a bath, but it's not going to wash my sins away. It'll just get the dirt off my flesh. Who can wash my sins away? Only God can do that. "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice." In those days when a sheep went astray and a shepherd kept having a sheep go astray, finally, if he couldn't teach him and couldn't stop him from going astray, he would take him and break his front leg and put his front leg in a splint, because it's better to have the sheep have a broken leg than to have him go astray and the wolf get him. So God loves us that much. "He's broken my back. He loves me so much. He's beat me almost to death. I've been so mule-headed." Don't go through what I've gone through in life in learning the right way. Because it's in the fire of affliction that I've learned not to sin against him. And I don't want you to have to go through what I've gone through. But I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, you can't sin and get away with it. Your only hope, the minute that you sin, is to confess it and say, "Have mercy on me, God," and turn back to God. That's your only hope. "That the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins." Oh, God, when I think of what I used to think I was getting away from, and God saw it all. Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself that God could see the rottenness that I've done in my life. But now the Bible is so plain, It says he will put our sins as far from us as the east is from the west, and he'll remember them no more. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, that's what I need. I get myself in most of the trouble that I get in. It's not the devil. The devil just lays a trap, and I stick my hand in it. You know, in Africa, they have a tribe that hunts monkeys over there. And they take a pumpkin, and they cut a little hole in it, and they put corn in that pumpkin. They empty all the seeds and everything out of the pumpkin, and they put corn in there, and they put it on the ground, and a monkey will come running up, and he'll look in that hole, man. He'll see that corn in there, and he'll reach in there and get a hold of the kernels of that corn, and a guy will come out of the bush with a stick, and that monkey will run around dragging that pumpkin, man. He'll run around dragging that pumpkin, and the guy will come out of the bush with a stick and beat him in the head, and he'll be in a stew pot that night. And if he just let go of the corn, he could get away. Are you going to let go of the corn, or are you going to be in a stew pot, man? You know, it's a choice God gives us in life. Drop down to verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Oh, God, thank you that you broke my spirit, that I'm not nearly as proud as I used to be. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, thou wilt not despise, oh God. Thank you. And so this is the basis for blessings. Back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we just read verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn for their sins. Now let's look at the comfort part. We studied the mourn part. In Isaiah chapter 61, a prophecy of the coming of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. Now back in Isaiah chapter 60, the prophet had told us, Isaiah chapter 60 verse 21, Isaiah 60 verse 21, and the people also shall be all righteous in this new kingdom of God, this new church of Christ that's coming in the future, in 700 years in the future. The people will all be righteous. Everybody that's in it will be righteous, not because we are righteous, but because we're counted as if we're righteous. The people shall all be righteous, and they shall inherit the land. There's this word now, land. They shall inherit the land. And a branch of my planting. Now back over into Isaiah chapter 61 verse 7. Isaiah 61 verse 7. This really goes with blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is Matthew 5. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so the meek here, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, proclaim liberty here in Hebrew means, it's pichak korah, it means perfect liberty. God has perfect liberty for us, perfect deliverance from us, if we'll accept it. We'll only be tempted. The devil can't beat us up and make us take that next drink. He can't make us sin. It's up to us to sin. We either have to stop sinning or we go on sinning. Proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all they that mourn. There's that term again. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus is preaching to us right out of the Old Testament. He's preaching to us on the Sermon on the Mount what God's been preaching all along. God wants those that are mourning for their sins to be comforted, to comfort all they that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion and give them beauty for ashes. Jews would throw ashes on themselves when they went into mourning, when their wife died or somebody died or they had some reason to mourn. They'd throw ashes on themselves. And God says, I want you in the Church of Christ in the future, when you mourn, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. You don't have to do all that stuff. And the oil of joy for mourning and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. You can become substantial. You can become like those oaks we were talking about. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorious. And they shall build the old waste places. I'm telling you, if the Spirit of God's upon you, if you're really a Christian, you'll build the old waste places just like you've come to help us do right here. Right here, there was 50 of us sitting here. And all we buried all but five of those. That's all that's still alive from the beginning here when we first started 12 years ago. This place is supposed to be closed. This place is supposed to be shut down. This place is supposed to do no good at all. This is a 116-year-old church, man. Everybody's moved out to the neighborhood, out to the suburbs. Everybody's left down here. This is all supposed to be closed down and shut down. We'll build the old waste places and shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolation of many generations. Many generations have gone on here, and this place was about to become a desolation. And y'all have really helped by adopting me as mothers and helping us repair this desolation here. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Gentiles will take the place of Jews. And the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and wine dressers. And thou shalt be named the priests of the Lord. And you shall be called the ministers of our God. Every Christian is a priest before God. Down to Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This word here, meek, is not talking about a stooge, and it's not talking about a sissy or a punk. It's not, doesn't mean that at all. This word in the Greek meant a wild animal that was trained for service. It meant a horse that had been trained to take a bridle and a saddle. It meant a mule that would pull the plow, or an ox that would pull the plow. And so Jesus is saying, be trained to God's service. Gentle and lowly is one of the terms of the word. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, feel like you got all the problems of the world on your back, like you Atlas, you're carrying the world around on your back, got a bunch of problems. Everybody feel that way? I do. Y'all feel that way too? Come unto me, all ye that labor. Man, I'm wore out from laboring sometimes, and are heavy laden, like you're carrying this whole burden, and I will give you rest. Man, that's what I'm looking for, is rest. What does he say the answer for being overworked is? Take my yoke upon you. More work? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jesus is saying, I'm well trained in God's service. I'm well trained in how you should serve God. Follow in my footsteps. Live as I live. Live opposite of evil in this world, and you will become meek and well trained in God's service. Meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I'm telling you, it really is restful to lay down, to go to sleep at night, and not have a bad conscience. Not worry about who's going to come over and shoot in the window and kill you. Not worry when you go out to your car, who's out there hiding in the bushes going to try to get you from behind. Boy, I'm telling you, I live that kind of life. I know that kind of life, that worldly life, that gangster life. That's a terrible life. You'll find rest for your souls by laying all your burdens down. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well fed is the Greek word there implies. Matthew, John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Jews had asked for bread, and here Jesus answered, the bread's right here before you. I am that bread of life. Coming and believing is equivalent to eating and drinking. So if you're hungry and thirst after righteousness, then you need to come to Jesus and believe in Jesus. That's the answer for your hunger. That's the answer for your thirst. Coming to Jesus and believing in Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the righteousness of God now, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, where is the righteousness of God? Look at Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The righteousness of God's going to be in the gospel of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. How much power's God got? He's got all power. What is His power to save? The gospel of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Where's the righteousness of God? It's in the gospel. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well fed, as the Greek word there implies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Shakespeare, I really love Shakespeare because I love this King James translation of the Bible, that Elizabethan English, I understand it. Shakespeare in The Merchant of Venice says, for the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth from heaven as a gentle rain. On the place beneath, right here on earth, 'tis twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him who takes. Mercy is like that. Somebody shows up and they're hungry, and you give them a sandwich, it blesses the person who eats the sandwich who's hungry, and it blesses the soul of the person who gives that makes giving the sandwich possible. A person gave us $700 last week. We needed some money. We needed some money. That buys 7,000 sandwiches. 7,000 pieces of meat. We got the bread, and he put the meat on the bread. That's a bunch of sandwiches. And we need that. We need that. Every penny will be spent on that. I get money in that's dedicated to radio stations. People have said, I'll pay for radio in Tennessee. And other people have said, I'll pay it for radio in Abilene. And others have said, I'll pay for radio in North Texas. And others have said, I'll pay for radio in Arkansas. And others have said, I'll pay for radio going out to the world. That's wonderful for them to say that. But we need to feed the poor too. And God sends that blessings too. God sends that blessings too. And it's not an accident. We've been on the radio for 10 years and never asked anybody for a penny. So a lady that came to church here a year ago, She came up to me. She's highly educated, college educated. She's an attorney. In fact, she's a U.S. attorney. And she was visiting here and said she's going to visit for a while. And she said, I was raised in the Church of Christ, but I've really never known God and really had faith and trust in God. She said, I've got some questions about God. Would you study with me? And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. And so I started meeting with her on Wednesday night. Emmanuel was teaching the classes then and studying with her. One of her first questions was, she said, I've heard from people all my life that Bible's been written and rewritten. So what's the chance of this being written by man and not being inspired? And I said, none at all. None whatsoever. It's far too complex. It's far too complex to have been written by men. Men would have made mistakes. One guy would have called black white, another guy would have called white black, and on and on and on. They would have made mistakes. God understands the definition of words. Words meant the same thing throughout the whole Bible. Anytime God's saying something, it doesn't matter where He says it, words mean the same thing. They've got the same definition throughout all of history. God understood and He communicated with us in a word revelation, and there's no mistakes in it, none at all. And she's a highly educated person, and she went to studying. We got a card from her, the sweetest card, last Friday. And it had a nice thing. She said, ever since I've gotten back to Houston, I've listened to you on the web. I listen to you every Sunday. I've continued to study. I'm studying in archaeology. I'm studying in Christian evidences and stuff like that. My faith is nothing but grown and grown. It was just the most wonderful card. And she sent us $3,000. Now, it just so happened that our radio bill for $2,730 was due. Does anybody think that's an accident? I don't think it's an accident. It's not an accident when you don't ask and God has a child of His send it. Now, we're back down to having a couple hundred dollars in the bank because I spent $2,730 of the $3,000 we got. But we needed that. We needed that. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way it works over and over and over and over and over again. God has manifested Himself exactly the right way at exactly the right time. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, He told those Jews how He wanted them to live their lives. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58, and let's start talking about this. He tells the prophet in Isaiah 58, verse 1, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice as a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Drop down to verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your laborers. They made their workers, the Jews did, work on holidays, and they took off. They made all their workers work on the Sabbath, and they took off. And they oppressed all their workers and all their servants. They found pleasure for themselves on their day of fast. And they said, but we fasted, and you don't hear our prayers. Why doesn't He hear their prayers? Because they're two-faced. Because they're phonies. They don't really believe. Verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate to smite with a fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. In this new kingdom of God that's coming, in this Church of Christ that's coming, that's not going to be the way people will fast. They won't fast like that as an outward show. They'll really fast. This will be the fast that these new Christians will fast in this coming kingdom of God. It is such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Well, I call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord. They pretend to fast and they carry on their trade and they trafficked in slavery and in the souls of men and in the bodies of men. They sold trade, the slaves, and they sold their own men. But what is the fast God has called people to? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness and undo every heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke of bondage. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bringest the poor that is cast out into thine own house, and thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thy face from thy own flesh? Now Jesus said virtually the same thing in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall be gathered together before Him all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on His left. You better hope you're on the right hand that day, and that you're over, not over there with them rebellious, headstrong, smelly goats. Then shall a king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You want this kingdom of God, really? For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. It sounds like the Main Street Church of Christ, doesn't it? We get a contribution of $1,000 a week here. We've got a jail ministry that teaches and baptizes 1,000 a year. We've got 3 hospital chaplains, Bernie, Martha Woods, and Victoria Williams. We've got 3 hospital chaplains here that work and volunteer over at Baylor Hospital. We feed 125,000 meals to the homeless and the hungry every year. Sounds like Main Street Church of Christ he's talking about. Now I want you to pay close attention. This is not what you do to be saved. This is what the saved do. There's a big difference. If you're saved, this is the kind of work that you'll produce. If you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, you won't bring forth fruit like that. You'll spend all your money on yourself. Back to Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bringest the poor that are cast out into thy house, that thou seest the naked that thou cover him, thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Now if you'll do this, Christianity, this will happen. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. And that word is asap there. It means your backside. God's saying, I've got your backside. God's saying, nobody's going to creep up behind you. I'm behind you. I've got your backside. Nobody's going to stab you in the back. Nobody's going to get away about whispering about you behind your back. God says, I've got your backside if you'll do this. The Lord shall be thy rearward. That's not reward now. Verse 9. Then shall I call, and the Lord shall answer. And then shall I cry, and he shall say, Here am I. And thou shalt take away from the midst of thee the yoke. You won't be in bondage anymore. And the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, in the Septuagint there it's translated, his soul pities and his hand gives. You can't look at some of these homeless people and not pity them. Many are getting what they got coming. Just as I've got what I've got coming sometimes in life. But that's where God wants us to meet them. He wants our soul to pity and our hand to give. He wants us to give them a sandwich. He wants us to give them a bowl of soup. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall our light rise in obscurity. Who'd ever heard of Main Street Church of Christ? And last month we downloaded 20,288 sermons on the web. Isn't that amazing? We've got a church of 5,625 people on the web, 300 here, 135 on CDs, plus a radio audience of all the world. I'm telling you, Billy Graham has a hard time doing that. And he's been at it a lot longer than I have. And thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make thy fat thy bones, man. I'm telling you, has he made me fat? Make fat thy bones. And you know something? I don't eat steak every day, baked potatoes and all that stuff. You know, I don't eat probably much better than what you eat. I think I eat just like you. You see me down there eating soup a whole lot. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fails not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Again, God says that. And thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, a breach in the wall, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath and from doing the pleasures, thy pleasures, on thy my holy day, come to church on Sunday, record the football game, watch it later, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, then shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasures, nor speaking thy own word, preachers. Stop all this yak-yak and read the Bible and study the Bible. Teach people how to read the Bible and rightly divide the word of truth. And stop all this pontificate. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I was thinking about that last night, man. I used to ride horses. Now, how wonderful that must be, whatever he's talking about. I wonder what he's talking about there. He's going to cause me to ride upon the high places of the earth. I wonder what that means. I want it. Whatever it is, I want it. It sounds wonderful to me. It sounds better than a roller coaster, I can tell you that now. I think it's a smooth ride. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His name was Israel. We'll get the heritage of Israel. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So I encourage you to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that is shown no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. I'm telling you, you better be merciful or you're going to be judged the way you judge. So if you're merciful, mercy will rejoice on that day of judgment. You'll rejoice on that day of judgment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart versus those that were outwardly pure. The scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, they washed themselves all over and they had all kinds of washing, ritualistic washings and cleansing, washing their hands, washing their feet, washing their whole body. they'd go off of the Temple Mount, they'd have to be baptized to come back in the temple. All these washings, all these outward washings, God wants you washed in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A Hebrewism meaning shall inherit his love. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep thy heart, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How do we get our heart right? In Acts chapter 15 verse 9, speaking of the Gentiles that came to God, and put no difference between them and us, purifying their hearts by faith. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. There it is, right out of the Sermon on the Mount. 750 years before Christ is born, Isaiah is telling us what the Messiah is going to preach. Drop down to verse 6. The wolf shall also dwell with a lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a calf, and the young lion, the fatling, together. And a little child shall lead them. And Jesus said you had to be converted and become as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'm telling you, all the old wolf in you, and all the old lion in you, and all the old bear in you, if you've really come to Christ, all those things will be washed away and passed away, and you'll become like a little child. You'll become born again and become new. How do you know that this is talking about that, preacher? Well, in Romans chapter 15, verse 12, Paul quotes these verses and says again, Isaiah saith that he shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. He quotes Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 10. And so God calls us to peace, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, and as much as lieth within you, live at peace with all men. So sometimes God recognizes that it's not possible. I mean, we had Gorilla come here one Sunday morning, and I had to straighten him out. I mean, you was there, Ty. I mean, you know, Gorilla was acting up back here in the back, and so I had to straighten him out. Sometimes it's not possible to be at peace with all men. Sometimes Gorilla acts up. Well, we got to straighten that out. That's what we got bouncers for around here. And so if we have to, we'll bounce them like a basketball on out, give them to the cop. We got a cop outside. We'd be glad to give them to him. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we need to be peaceful and need to be holy if we want to see the Lord. We'd encourage you this morning that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that gospel, you need to put your faith and your trust and your confidence in Christ alone to save you. Repent of your sins. Come to Christ. Confess Him Christ as Lord. Be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away. Now's your opportunity this morning to come and become a Christian. If you're ready to become a Christian, or if you have sin in your life, won't you come now? While we stand and sing.
Anybody?